A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, this is Stephen Amell.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Tammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And listen to this, or my fictional alter ego will hunt you down. Enjoy.
Hello, Arrow Squad. This is Earth 1. I am Barry Allen from Earth 90 tonight. Yes, I am that Flash tonight.
And I'm just regular plain Cammy. I am the same in all universes.
Welcome to Elseworlds Part 2, which is Season 7, Episode 9 of Arrow. Mm-hmm. Whew. Yes.
Quite a crossover we've had.
It's crazy. And I know this is a little bit strange that we're kind of throwing in a regular episode because there's all this talk about the crossover podcast coming and everything, but just due to scheduling and everything, this is what we have to do for our little part of it this week, just to get Cammy involved and allow her to talk about what she thinks so far.
Yeah. So there will be a crossover episode coming with the other podcasts from Golden Spiral Media, and your favorite, Martin the Flash, will be on it representing Arrow Squad and also covering some of the other topics from the crossover. But for our little corner of Arrow Squad, we wanted to have an Arrow-specific podcast so we could cover the Arrow-specific episode, which aired yesterday, which was part 2. So we'll be focusing in on that mostly, although we can kind of touch on the Arrow characters from part 1 and 3 just a little bit. But it's mostly part 2.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen part 3 yet. I know it was on tonight. I have not been able to finish it off, so we can only talk about 1 and 2 right at the moment.
Okay, part 2 it is.
All right, well, let's get into our ratings and impressions. I'm going to give this particular episode an 8 Earths in the Multiverse. I am having so much fun right now with the crossover this year, especially Stephen Amell. I think he is stealing the entire show, the entire crossover. He's got some comedy skill in him that we've never gotten to see before, and I think he's hilarious. His mannerisms, his physical comedy, his expressions, his reactions, everything he's doing, I am loving. He is leading this crossover with gusto, and you can tell he's having such a good time getting to let loose and be a little bit silly. I so love what he's doing. When we're done here, I'm gonna personally tweet him. I'm gonna do as much as I can to tell him how much I'm appreciating his performance. I am loving how much fun this is with him. Now, this Arrow part of the 3-part series, it had a couple issues. I found it to be a little bit slower, especially in the middle section there, than the lead episode on Flash did. And there's some things I'm a little disappointed with, as much as there are things that I absolutely loved. So it was kind of a mixed bag episode, but overall, as I said, I am loving the crossover so far. It's the best one we've had yet, just due to its entertainment value. I think it's the most fun. I'll get into those points that I'm a little bit disappointed in and the stuff that I love in our discussion. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hear you're liking it. I think my rating it for it is just a little bit lower than yours. It's a 7 out of 10. But because this episode in particular, the Arrow one, I felt was a bit of a hodgepodge. But there were a lot of high moments throughout. There were a lot of things where if I consider just a couple minutes individually, I really enjoyed. I would say overall, my main issue, I suppose, with part 2, the Arrow episode, was that it had too little Arrow DNA, and it got a little soapy, soap opera-ish in a way that I normally associate with Flash. So even for me, it was a little soapy, and I appreciate romance, but it was just a little off. The Asylum, I would say, is the low point for me in terms of plot. I found some of the side characters throughout that to be very not Arrow DNA. It was extremely Flash, almost Legends-ish. Kate Kane, though, she could stay. I adored her. that's my rating, 7 out of 10. But cool. We're going to get more into it, because when you get down to the nitty-gritty, spoiler alert, Flash and I have some very different opinions about some parts of this crossover.
And a couple of things, fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just one small pre-show feedback that I've got here before we get into it. I don't know, did we get anything from Aaron this week?
I don't think we did.
Okay,
we
might get
pre-show feedback from Aaron.
No. Well, we do have one here from our new friend Jesse, and he says, "Hey guys, just wanted to make a quick statement / idea about Emiko Queen. I believe in the comics she was taken and raised by Simon LaCroix, who we see on the CW as an archer that Oliver takes on in the early seasons. I think it'd be interesting if the CW pursued that aspect of her training history. We do see Oliver mention that it takes a very specific kind of training, so I'm excited for that. Love the podcast as always." Huh. That's a deep pull, because I have not rewatched the earlier seasons, and I'm looking at ordering all the box sets on Blu-ray because I do want to go back and watch them. And mm-hmm. Now that we are so ingrained at leading this podcast, I feel I know everything a lot more in depth than I used mm-hmm. to as just a viewer. So I really want to watch those first few seasons with this new perspective, and I think I'm going to make a lot more connections to the things that are happening in our current stories and see what's going on. So I like that he has a deep connection like that. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. Also, thank you, Jesse, for that touch of history.
Mm-hmm. All right, shall we get into our favorite moments of this part two?
Yes, that's my favorite part.
Mine too. All right, I will kick it off. And as I was saying in my opening monologue, I am absolutely loving Oliver Stephen Amell's performance here, and just everything about it. So I did pull one of the clips from this episode, and it was when Oliver was defending himself as the original vigilante and that Batman doesn't exist. I was sitting between both episodes. I have not laughed, like legitimately laughed out loud at all of these shows as much as I have in these first two crossovers. And that's why I'm loving them so much. And even my partner beside me, Patty Spivot, she doesn't watch Arrow regularly. She comes and catches a few episodes here and there with me, but even she was giggling and laughing and having a good time at Stephen Amell. Everything he did, she was bursting out with a laugh. So she's loving him, and it's great. So I loved how defensive he was about the whole vigilante thing, and that he was hurt that no one thought he was the man and that Batman is more awesome. I just found it so much fun watching them all either nerd out and debate about Batman kind of thing. It's just, Stephen was fantastic. So here's a bit of a clip. I actually combined a couple segments together to make one clip, but here it is. Let's have some fun.
Barry, there's something I'd like to discuss before we go.
What's that?
That you probably shouldn't go.
What?
Oliver Queen is a public figure and an infamous vigilante. If you are in Gotham City, you're attracting the type of attention that we don't want.
No, if Gotham can handle the Batman, they can handle the Green Arrow. But the Batman's an urban legend.
Wait, you don't believe Batman's real?
He's not real. He's an urban legend concocted by the Gotham Police Department to scare criminals. I'm the original vigilante,
okay,
Barry.
If you guys are done fooling around...
Could you pull that thing up? Because unlike you, my identity is not public, and I'd like to keep it that way.
This isn't your real face.
It might end up being my real face if we don't sort this mess out, so could you?
Happy?
Ecstatic.
Apparently you guys aren't done fooling around.
Well, I guess I'm running alone.
You still think he's a myth?
Yeah!
Let's go.
Batman's real.
Come on.
Yeah, I love it. I was just sitting here. I had to mute my microphone because I was just giggling away again. I love that Stephen Amell is just completely cutting loose and having fun. It's awesome.
He has good comedic timing, and
yeah.
I haven't really got the chance to see that before on Arrow.
No, that's exactly what I'm
saying.
But
it makes sense, because Oliver is quite a comedian in the comics, is he not? He's supposed to be quite funny and jokey and cocky and all of that.
Yeah, so this could be a good little door opener to him maybe transitioning a little bit into that more well-known comic book version of him, along with the being unmasked and everything. So who knows? I love what they're doing with it. I would like to see kind of like the social media response to his performance. I hope it's good. I hope it's positive because I love it. It's fantastic stuff.
I agree.
All right. And what is your favorite scene?
I was going to say, what I picked as my favorite scene, we won't be in quite as much of an agreement about. I picked the introduction of Kate Kane. I thought she was fantastic. In the notes, I've referred to her as the love of my life. So that might be going a bit too far, but we're right there.
Is that like maybe, comic book history that you've loved her, or just from this moment on the show?
I like this incarnation of her on the show. Okay. I'm familiar with Batwoman in the comics. I looked up quite a bit about her when I knew that she was going to be on Arrow and in the crossover, just because I was curious.
Mm.
And learned a little bit more about her. But I really am enjoying this incarnation of her, especially played by Ruby Rose. I think Ruby's doing a fantastic job. I loved her dynamic with Kara as well, which I wasn't really expecting to care that much about the Supergirl part of the crossover just in general. Mm-hmm. We have some guests that really fit the Arrow DNA. And I would say for Supergirl, because she is so super powered, it doesn't necessarily fit the Arrow world. Yeah. But I thought by bringing her into Gotham and having her interact with Kate, it really did kind of get closer to that Arrow DNA. And I thought it was really fun.
Kind of grounded. I also thought it was a fairly, bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a fairly unique introduction, as DCCW intros to heroes go. She wasn't bartending at a coffee shop, but she also wasn't already pre-suited when we met her. We meet her in just normal clothing, and she has sort of that swag to her, and I just thought it was really fun. But I know you have a different opinion, and that's absolutely fair.
Well, I have a mixed opinion. Like we were talking behind the scenes here, there's some good about it and some stuff I was a little bit let down about it. But before we get to that, I don't want to counter you yet. Well, let's play the clip. I wasn't sure which specific one you wanted here, so I pulled the one from where they first meet her, because there is at least some dialogue happening there, and at least is an intro to her. So let's listen to that, and then we'll continue talking.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is definitely not Bruce Wayne.
Oliver Queen.
Yeah, I'm Oliver Queen. Yeah. And you are?
The rain on your parade. If you're visiting Gotham to compare grappling hooks with Batman, you are out of luck. No one's seen him in years.
Told you.
Myth.
I would never compare myself to a total badass like Batman.
What I think Oliver is trying to say, thank you for getting us out of jail.
What Oliver's actually trying to say is, who are you? And why are you helping us?
Gotham has enough problems without a guy in green leather showing off his arrows to everyone. So, the faster you find what you're looking for, the faster you can get the hell out of my city.
But what should we call you? Rain? Miss Parade?
Kane. Kate Kane.
There you go.
I thought that was such a lovely introduction.
Well, yeah. It was different than, like you said, it was different than how we've had other characters come on the scene before. So
she just had so much swag and style, and she was so charming. I just really enjoyed it.
Somebody has a crush, I think.
Oh, you noticed.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, bring us down to earth. Tell us what they did wrong.
Okay, well, see, this part is not what they did wrong. This is where they nailed it and got it right. I don't want to poo-poo on your love affair here. It's just there was a lot of build-up to Batwoman coming in on this Elseworlds. A lot of hype. And at this point, I was with it, but I think when they introduced Batwoman, that's where it fizzled. So I liked her first appearance here as Kate Kane, and the story that she let us in on about Bruce and Batman, and the falling apart Wayne building, all of that stuff, everything that she, all the information she gave us was super intriguing, and like you said, the way she played the part, she was very stoic, very mysterious, very like, this is my city and you're listening to me kind of thing. I loved all that. She was great. But when it got to the Batwoman stuff, that underwhelmed me and quite a bit because of a few things. For instance, like when she lands on that van and just crushes it, I thought for a second that was Supergirl, because what? No, Batman, that doesn't happen even with Batman. And she crushed the van down. So I'm just like, nope, that's not believable. And then the guy in the van looks out and screams like a little kid. And I'm thinking, wait a second, she's not that scary. That was a little bit over the top ridiculous. And now I'm already, now I got a bad taste in my mouth about Batwoman. And I loved her haircut as Kate Kane. And then in her costume, she's got this over the top flowing red hair coming out of the mask. And I just thought it was a little too much. But what I most disliked about how they introduced her was how they filmed her little bit of action scenes that she had. By the end of it, I was disappointed that we did not get enough of her. I wanted to see her really go to town with some Batman-like action. I thought what they did was corny and poorly done. It just made her look bad. It was the movements of the camera and the herky-jerky, I don't know, weird angles. Just something about it just made her look goofy and not cool. And all we saw her do was use a grappling hook. We didn't see her do hardly anything, and that to me is a letdown. It didn't live up to the hype for me. I love Kate Kane, but Batwoman, just not good enough.
I can kind of see your point, and then there's some points where I think it can't be both ways. So they can either give her super strong fighter powers where even when she's jumping out of a building, she can crush a car if she hits it just right or whatever, you know, whatever. Or you could have it where they didn't let her do anything. You know, they let her do something, so it can't be that they didn't let her do anything. I think you just may not have liked the approach, the things they did have her do.
Well, I wanted her to see ways. I wanted her to do traditional, I mean, because they're obviously replacing Batman with her as the Bat character that they can bring into this universe, and that's really cool. So I wanted to see her, you know, throw some batarangs, get in there, do some hand-to-hand combat. Let's see how tough she is. Let's see why people are scared of her. All she did was toss her grappling hook from the top of the van. She didn't do anything, and I wanted to see so much more. And the way they let it hang, I don't even know if she's going to be in part three. It's like that was it. That was all we got. And that's what I mean, was a bit of a fizzle by the end of it. I would like to have seen Kate Kane a lot more and see her work with them and maybe do a little bit of investigating and some of that aspect of it. But, you know, it's just not enough. It wasn't enough.
I think one of the things we say a lot on here, though, is that if we're left wanting more, that's almost a good sign, though. In this case, I think we're left wanting perhaps a lot more, but just like how I was saying last week when we were sort of complaining a bit about Dinah's storyline and how we wanted more for her, it at least shows we were interested, you know, and we care. So I think the same could be said for Kate Kane in this case. We want more, but it's because we want to love her.
Okay, well, let me just change those words around. I want more Kate Kane. I wanted better Batwoman. And we'll end it at that.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Let's get into our discussion points, because being a crossover episode, there wasn't a lot we could really focus in on, but you found some stuff, so let's see what you got that we can dive into about this particular episode.
Well, really, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on just the overall premise of this crossover. They're in a pretty unique predicament. It's kind of a bit of a Freaky Friday premise. Did you like the premise of the whole crossover?
You know, I thought this was such a fun idea. It was so much fun. It was a simple idea, but a great idea that our characters have to figure out. I mean, they've gone so big with the previous crossovers that you can't keep outdoing yourself, because that becomes too much production-wise, too much believability-wise, everything. So I love that they simplified it right down. I'm sure we got the Monitor and the multiverse clap. I mean, they're bringing in the Crisis storyline, but at the heart of it, we're dealing with this Freaky Friday body switch. And I think it's so much fun, and they've got to figure it out. And what I found it was doing it is it really highlights the differences in the characters and how they behave and how each show is different. And they even went so far as to be so specific that both Barry and Oliver were cussing each other out about their respective shows and how they behave on them. And I thought it was awesome. Like, talk about breaking the third wall, essentially, and just... It was awesome. The writing was so spot on and absolutely witty as all heck. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a fun premise. There were some highs and lows to it, but if I squinted and just enjoyed the humor, I thought it was really fun. I will say, though, for the Arrow part of this journey, for the Arrow leg of the journey, if you will, we didn't actually spend much time in Star City, right? We quickly moved to Gotham. Did you enjoy the touch where the Arrow leg of the journey was kind of the Batman leg of the journey, or Batwoman leg of the journey, if you will, by diving into Gotham for this part?
Yeah, I see. I guess that really is kind of disappointing, too, that we weren't really in Star City. I mean, what it did is it took away most of our Arrow characters. We hardly had any of them in there. I mean, where was Dinah? Where was Renee? Why didn't they get to be part of this awesome crossover and have some fun with it? All we got is Curtis. Like, why? Why the heck did we get Curtis in here? Like, come on. We're not enjoying him this season, so why? But what I did like about it, though, like you said, we spent most of the episode in Gotham. I really liked what they did with Gotham and how they explain it not ever being mentioned. You know, one of the characters says no one ever talks about Gotham, you know, because of how corrupt it is and how dangerous it is and the rules and the city. Like, there's so much wrong with it, making it worse than Star City, because we've always been joking on here, like, oh, Star City's as bad as Gotham, but now they just wrote this that Gotham is so bad nobody even talks about it. And I love what they did with it. I love that the police were corrupt, the government's corrupt. I love how everything is just all messed up. And they, even though we didn't see a lot of the city, you got enough to understand what's going on there. This was a really neat take on Gotham, and I thought it was cool.
I thought it was fun because obviously there's the jokes about Green Arrow being quite similar to Batman, so that was fun to have the Green Arrow leg in Gotham. I see what they were doing there. I suppose I miss a bit more Arrow DNA to the Arrow episode. I did not miss the other Arrow characters because I thought the key ones were all there, and to have too many, it would get incredibly cluttered considering it was a crossover. There really was only space for about three characters from each show, and from Supergirl, it wasn't even really that. It was one or two, really.
Yeah.
So we had our Flash trio, we had our Arrow trio, and any more than that would have been a bit much. In fact, I would say on Flash, which had mostly Flash characters, we really just had Oliver from Arrow and then a few more of the Supergirl characters. It was getting cluttered there too, and they could have pared it down to just their Flash trio on there. So I do respect Arrow kind of trimming down the characters. I don't think we needed Curtis in there at all. I strongly agree with you. I think he could have gone because he's not someone we're attached to this season. So all of the main but not main characters, I suppose I could do without, since we have so many new ones and we had just random side characters in this episode as well. And I think we wanted that face time with our heroes with the swapped powers, because there's so much to explore there. Did you enjoy Oliver as a speedster? Did you like the way they showed his powers?
Yes, just like I was saying in my opening monologue, that it's been the best part of the crossover so far. I mean, you have him not knowing how to control the speed because he just got it for the first time. So it's just funny watching him overrun everything and not be able to slow down in time or whatever. That's fun. To him learning the abilities that come with it, like the vibing through the walls. Vibrating through the walls and throwing phasing. The lightning and... You know, just different stuff like that. To him just running around instead of using arrows, he's used to hand-to-hand combat and relying on his bow and arrows. And then, of course, he's super snarky this episode. And then when he's trying to act like Barry, it's just hilarious because he's trying to smile more and he's trying to be all, like lighthearted and goofy. And it's so much fun to watch Steven do all of this. I love all of it. And I just want to point out something funny because I've always... minorly nitpicked about how Grant Gustin runs on the Flash. It's I did track and field my whole life from grade 3 until grade 13 high school. I did track, so I understand running, I understand form and technique and all that. Grant Gustin isn't a great runner. Stephen Amell runs better than he does in the Flash suit, and I just thought that was funny.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
Aww. I would never have noticed that. I would only run if I was being chased. So the non-villain plot in this episode really focused on the reconciliation of Speedster Oliver with Felicity. Now, I know this is a bit more of a touchy subject. You might even be surprised by my opinion on this, but let's start with your thoughts. What did you think of the little reconciliation plot in the Arrow episode?
I'm so on it. I don't know why they had to deal with it here during the crossover. And yet it's the one very small connection to the regular season plot that we do get in this crossover. And what I'm worried about is now everybody out there is going to be pulling on that one little tidbit saying, this is part of the main storyline, but it's not. The crossovers never have been. They've never barely been mentioned in the regular season plot afterwards. These are just fun episodes to get everyone together and have a good time for a major season event. And so it concerns me that this is going to be a major plucking point that this came up. But I also found that it was too much part of the crossover. As you said, it made it too soap opera-like. And it was the real downer part of this episode. I didn't need them to deal with it. And then I found it strange when Felicity just sort of listened to everybody and suddenly understood. And then goes and kisses him when they're trying to make us believe that she looks at Grant Gustin and thinks he is Oliver. That's the man she's had her whole life with. And she just believes what everyone says. And she walks up to Stephen Amell, who is Barry to her, and she kisses him. I found that really weird and really awkward that she would be okay with doing that. And then this one, they could have left all of that out of this episode.
Yeah. I'm getting really, really tired of the crossovers consistently painting Oliver and Felicity in a bad light. It is a clear pattern at this point. It is incredibly obvious that it is different writers and a different showrunner in charge of the crossovers. And it is bizarre to me why they are always taking what is essentially the most stable couple right now in the DCCW universe and painting them in this position of being in some sort of tumultuous fighting circumstance every crossover. Last crossover was all about their reconciliation as well and coming to terms with the fact that they want to get married to each other. But it was in this odd light where they were constantly, you know, fighting about it the way couples fight on The Flash. And I'm just not used to seeing that for our Arrow couples, especially not since recent seasons when we've had a little bit of turnover or maturity in the writers. I don't know what the situation is, but we just haven't seen that in a while in The Flash. And I'm getting so tired of it. That's not the couple we know and love. And for those who mostly get exposure to Arrow couples during the crossover, they probably think Oliver and Felicity just fight all the time or something, and they don't get to see the cool, fun side of them that we know, the ones who watch the episode, you know, where we see them being partners and kicking villain butt together and all that, you know. So I don't know. That's getting a bit exhausting for me.
Well, yeah,
just because it's not a good representation of them.
And what it's doing, like you're saying, for a lot of the viewers, that because there's a lot of viewers that don't watch Arrow that do watch Flash and Legends because they just want the lighter, fluffier shows.
Right.
And they're going to have the same reaction exactly the same way that the characters are having, like all the Flash characters. Like you said, every crossover, there's trouble between Oliver and Felicity, and all the characters like Iris and Cisco and Caitlin, that's all they ever witness is, oh, these guys are having relationship issues. That's all they know them to be. And the viewers are also going to see that. Geez, every time I get to see Arrow characters, they're always having this relationship drama. Like, God, no wonder I don't watch that show.
And they do that to other pairs, other romantic pairs in the crossover as well. Barry and Iris are always fighting. Granted, they do fight quite a lot in the actual show as well. And then you had, like, in a previous crossover, you had Kara and Mon-El needing some sort of reconciliation after a fight. It's like, I know that there's consistently the same, I know, right? There's consistently the same people in charge of writing the crossovers. And I know that they're great at writing sort of fun, unique premises where the teams all get together. But for some reason, this team is convinced that writing romantic fights and reconciliations is what we want to see. And I get it to an extent. I know that's quite similar to the way romantic couples fight and get together over and over in the comics, but it's just, I don't think that translates that well to TV to be that volatile. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just uncomfortable. And like I said, it was the real slowdown part of this episode that just really took you out of the fun, what was going on. So, which is unfortunate. It happened during our Arrow second part. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little more about the fun stuff, because we did have some fun crossover guests. We had all the classics, the Flash trio. We had some new faces like Kate Kane. Did you have a favorite crossover character?
Well, we had Superman and Lois Lane, although Lois wasn't in the second part. They brought her in as well, which is an introduction. I mean, they've had some great guests in here. And I think so many of them did well. I mean, Caitlin and Cisco were great this time, because finally, as a Flash viewer, Cisco is getting back to his fun self. I've been so tired of his gloom and doom of the last two seasons already, that this episode, he was fun. He was back to himself, being funny and goofy and excited about stuff. So I was happy to see that. I also really liked Caitlin. She had a lot more to do in this episode than she's ever got before in any of the crossovers. I mean, she gets to help out Felicity by being a moral support for her. She gets to bring Killer Frost into this crossover and face Freeze's wife, which was Stephen Amell's real life wife playing the part. That was kind of fun. It was so much good stuff for Caitlin, and I was happy to see her getting to have some fun in this crossover. But my favorite was definitely John Wesley Shipp as the 90s Flash. I think he stole the spotlight every time he was on screen. And I just love so much for him that the showrunners honored him like this and get him to be the Flash one more time in his version of the suit. I have loved this actor right from the get-go. I loved how he's played Henry Allen. I love how he played Jake Garrick. I love all his incarnations of it. He's such a great actor, and it really almost makes me wish they did his Flash show now instead of in the 90s. And part of it, and this is my opinion, but I really have to say this, that his Flash suit is 10 times better than Grant's Flash suit. It's what I modeled my cosplay Flash after. You guys have all seen my picture of me in my Flash suit. I modeled it after the 90s show. It's a nicer dark red. The symbol on the chest is better, and it's much more like the comics and cartoons. This season's Flash suit, I think, is one of the worst ones yet. Especially the open helmet without the chin strap. I don't like the design of it. I don't like the look of it. If I had to pick Grant's best looking Flash suit, it was last season, which is funny because it's the worst season of the Flash, but his suit was the best looking one last season. I love John Wesley Shipp's Flash suit. It's amazing. It's comic perfect or comic accurate, and I like the darker red and the smoother look of the material. I love it. He was by far my favorite. I was just so happy that he got to do that again. It's such a fantastic feeling. And if you follow him at all on any social media, the amount of love and appreciation that he is showing for them allowing him to do that and don that suit again, he's such a thankful type of human being. He's amazing. And I got to meet him actually when I was in Atlanta. He's fantastic. So yeah, definitely. That's my favorite part.
Yeah. I agree with you about the Flash suit and how great he's been. He's been such a nice addition to the show, a show that often lacks that adult presence, I suppose. You know, we get a lot of young people on the show, and having that grounding can be really nice. And he's always been very gracious about the show as well. I've seen him a few times at Dragon Con, and he's always been great.
How about you?
For me, I would strongly agree with you, especially about Caitlin. I thought she really pulled this episode together and was kind of a quintessential perfect crossover guest. She tied into every aspect very well and was able to keep the true Caitlin Snow character that we see on The Flash, but have the gravity that you would expect in Arrow, and then also do the Arrow violent scenes very well as Killer Frost. And I think she had a very difficult role to play and did it very well, especially playing opposite in the asylum. She had a bit of a fight scene with Nora, the Freeze character, who I you didn't list her as one of your favorites, did you? Right?
No, I mean, she wasn't much. She was just a little bit part, so I didn't think she stood out enough to really be considered a favorite.
Yes. Okay, good. I hope I'm not letting anybody down. If she was one of your favorites, I thought that character was executed so badly. I'm so sorry. She was very cheesy. It was very sloppily done. And Caitlin did a wonderful job opposite of her, really kind of bringing that scene together. And that level of expertise and professionalism, I think, really showed through. And it really elevated the asylum part, which could have easily gone one way or the other, just because we haven't seen that particular style of scene on Arrow very often. So I thought that would probably be my favorite. But you also mentioned Superman. We didn't see him as much in this segment compared to The Flash, and I presume on Supergirl. So what are your thoughts on his presence in the crossover?
Well, I really like his portrayal of Supes, as he's short formed called. I liked when they brought him in on Supergirl. I thought he was a fantastic rendition of Superman for a TV version of him. I think it's fun they brought him back to take part in this crossover. I mean, it's okay he wasn't big in this episode, but I think ending with him like that in the black suit can mean so many things. I mean, as far as I know, the black suit only came into existence when Superman was resurrected, brought back to life after he died. He had a bit of an identity crisis, so he wore the black suit for a time. So I have no idea what that could possibly mean. And anybody call in to correct me if I'm a little bit off on that. But the meanings of that could be pretty deep. I don't know what's going on because we don't know where they are. We don't know where the episode ended, what earth they are on or what version or whatever. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I just think that was an exciting finish to lead in the last leg of this event, which is a Supergirl based episode. So it's cool. It was a good transition to move over to that. And the one thing I want to go back to Killer Frost, I wanted to ask you something because I saw a lot on social media. People were a little bit confused with her fight with Mrs. Freeze there. Mrs. Freeze overpowered her, ice versus ice. Why should that, you know, Caitlin shouldn't be affected by all that? And I just wanted to put in my two cents here. I don't think it was that the Freeze power was stronger than Caitlin's because Caitlin's is a natural ability. Freeze was always gun powered. I think it's just the power of the blast itself from the gun is what knocked her over and knocked her out. It had nothing to do with the Freeze ability besting hers. It was just the power of the blast itself is my take on that.
Yeah, and I think from a plot perspective as well, it's all just part of having our heroes go up against villains who are their equals, and sometimes that means hand-waving away the fact that it's not really their equal. That's how I would explain it, yeah.
Okay, and what about your thoughts on Superman's presence? What do you think?
Superman's always a bit of a mixed bag to me. I was actually mostly excited about Lois Lane, and she wasn't really in this part as much. But I suppose he's grown on me. I was pretty resistant to him showing up on Supergirl because I wanted it to remain just her show and not turn into the Super Family show. But in the crossover, I think it was fine. I think I appreciated that he was less present in the Arrow one because I don't think that Superman or even Supergirl really fit the Arrow world quite as much.
Yeah.
So I was okay with that. I would say that in terms of themes, the themes of crossovers overall, it involves bringing in outsiders to resolve a common problem, but also offer outside advice on inner team problems. That's kind of the way I was kind of writing it out and conceptualizing it. So I don't know that Superman had much to offer Team Arrow in terms of being able to relate to them the way Barry and those from The Flash could, because they're in a similar power dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what I described in terms of the premise, the plot premise of the crossovers, facing a common villain and then using outsider advice to fix inner team dynamics, do you think that was done well here in the Arrow leg?
Yeah, see, when you say outsiders, I don't see it as outsiders, because this is a shared universe and all the characters know each other. They maybe only see each other every, you know, a couple times a year based on all this stuff. But, I mean, we've seen Barry run back and forth between Star City and Central City quite a few times. So I they're not quite outsiders, but they're outsiders in the sense, like from other shows, where they're not involved in each other's daily lives. And I like what they did here, because that gives them a perspective from not being part of the daily drama. And that always, just like in our real life, when you go to get advice from someone who hasn't been part of the problem, they give you a fresh perspective because they see it differently. And that outside perspective can share what they've gone through in their own lives and how they've handled things, which each show and its respective characters do differently. They both handle situations and problems differently. So when Arrow characters having a problem and the Flash characters are guesting on the show, Flash characters can say, hey, well, you know, this is how we handle that situation. This is what we do. And Arrow characters are like, oh, and vice versa. So I like it. I like how they presented it. I like how it kind of intermingled and mixed. Like you said, with Caitlin, she fit every possible role that she had in this episode. She fit it well. And when she sat down to have a talk with Felicity, she was the perfect counselor, the perfect friend to lean on. It was great. So, yeah, I think they did it just fine.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think the example you give there is the example of it being done best. I think there's moments where it was done better than others. I always kind of criticize Barry's advice by default. So him giving advice to Oliver throughout, there were some ups and downs, but you give some good examples there. Caitlin, especially.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little about our villains, even though I know that wasn't the main point of this episode, but we can kind of end there.
Mm-hmm.
That setting, Arkham Asylum, was it everything you hoped for? Did you know that they were going to go there? Had you seen spoilers ahead of time about the setting?
I had no idea they were going to Arkham Asylum, so I had no hopes for anything like that. But I thought it was fun. I got the hint in the beginning of this that you weren't too impressed with it. I thought it was fun. We didn't get a lot of it, but I liked what they did with it. It's a different version of Gotham than we know from the TV show Gotham. Because you see all the prison cells, and I had fun. I actually paused and slowed it down so I could read all the name tags as they were walking down the hallway. And we saw that we saw the Penguin, we saw the Riddler, and we saw a couple producer names like Guggenheim. And there was a couple names that I didn't recognize, so I don't know if they're comic book characters or more show producers, but I just thought it was fun. And we got a lot of little nods to the Batverse, like Bane's mask, and there's a couple other things that if you paid attention, you could see them laying around. So I thought it was fun. It wasn't a major point of the story, but it was still fun.
Yeah, I thought it had a lot of potential. And again, I enjoyed the introduction of it a little bit more than the final execution of it. I liked the scene of them checking in Killer Frost. I thought that was really funny. And it Kara, as Supergirl, did a wonderful job with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was more the action scenes within the asylum that I thought were kind of hit or miss. But overall, I think conceptually it was good on paper. So you and I were now having this discussion before seeing the final leg. We're really, truly just evaluating the Arrow episode.
Yeah.
What did that villain plotline leave you hoping would happen in the final installment?
Well, at this point in time, we still don't have a lot on the monitor or that crazy doctor. I can't think of his name, the doctor's character's name. So other than the doctor getting a second chance to act like God and change the world as he sees fit, we didn't get much from either of them. And I think for a crossover big bad, they're kind of missing the mark here. Neither of them have been shown enough to feel like a threat worthy of a crossover, if you know what I mean. I mean, we right. know the Monitor is all powerful. We've seen his ability, but there's no background on him to link to and go, whoa, you know, and really worry about his threat presence. And the Doc, I mean, he just has this book that can rewrite reality. And yeah, okay, that is a freaky as hell idea. But all he did was try to be the Flash, and we didn't even see him do that. We didn't see him do anything with it. It was just told to us through dialogue. So I think the Doctor's kind of a fizzle as a bad guy. I'm just like, these guys aren't anything. It's the book that's the big bad, and the Monitor is supposed to be the big bad, so we think. I don't know how it ended, but I'm just finding that it hasn't built it up or built them up fast enough. Now we're in our last episode, which I'm going to watch as soon as we're done here. So this is my current perspective. I don't think they have time to wrap it all up in one episode. They haven't built these bad guys up to be a big enough threat yet to be finalizing it already. Does that all make sense?
Mm. Yeah, that does. It's a pacing issue is what you're describing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you feel?
I felt that the focus of this crossover was more on both our existing characters, the premise they were facing, and our guests, our new people, our introductions. Mm-hmm. And there just wasn't, no matter how big of a villain or how complex of a villain storyline they threw into that mix, no matter what they chose, it was never going to overshadow the catchiness of the premise of that whole Freaky Friday swap.
Yeah. And
all of the teams having to come together, there just wouldn't be the time, attention, or energy for it. So it would almost read as a villainless crossover, no matter how many villains they threw in.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They have focused so strongly on the body swap idea, and it's coming off so well. It's so entertaining and so much fun that they could have had it just be that and not have a multiverse ending villain, and it would have played off just fine without it, as they try to run around and figure out how the heck did we switch bodies and why does nobody else see it but us. They could have left right. it at that, and it would have been just fun.
They could have just had it be Freaky Friday, yeah. the movie,
yeah.
part two. Well, speaking of the fun and freaky stuff, did you have any favorite fight scene moments?
Well, the fight when Oliver and Barry were under the Scarecrow's drug and seeing each other's fears and nemesis as cool with the editing and back and forth that they did with that. I thought that was cool. That was fun. But I have an issue with that whole sequence, because if the Flash is seeing Reverse Flash and they're fighting each other with lightning fast, flash time, flash speed, punches, kicks, and powers, when it really isn't the Reverse Flash, it's technically just Oliver Queen, who's a regular human, then Oliver should be a melted heap of flesh on the ground by the end of it. There's no way he could stand toe-to-toe with the Flash if the Flash is using his full-on speed in that moment. So I got taken out of that whole moment that was supposed to be really cool, because I just thought, wait a second, this doesn't actually make sense. And because we've seen Flash and Oliver fight before, when I think it was the Flash that was on some kind of drug or whatever, and we saw Oliver, they wanted to make Oliver look like he could handle him, and they did that in the very first crossover, and that the Flash wasn't really giving it his all. But in this sequence, he sees his enemy, Reverse Flash, so he's given it everything he's got to take him down. Oliver would not survive that, in all reality. Mm-hmm. So I felt funny about that.
Yeah.
A scene, the one that I'm going to pull out that I think was probably the best fight moment that I'd like to bring up is the one with Diggle, actual Diggle. We had good Diggle stuff this
the
time.
The real guy, yeah.
The real guy. Taking on all the inmates, they really amped up that fight sequence for him. It made him look so badass. It was a lot of fun. And I know this didn't happen in this episode. I just wanted to point out that in the first episode, I loved when Stephen Amell as the Flash grabbed him and ran away, and immediately he's thrown up into a bucket again. Like, I love it. I love it. So, but while I'm on the topic of Diggle, I also liked, everybody jumped on this, people that picked it up. I loved when the 90s Flash addressed him as John, as in John Stewart, yes, asking where the ring is because the little Green Lantern nod. Awesome.
That was so, so, I was so excited about that. I may have fist bumped just a little bit. That was so exciting.
It was. How about you, though? Did you have a favorite fight sequence or anything?
I kind of did, but don't make fun of me. It's kind of just for hopeless shippy reasons. Do you want to hear about it anyways, though?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have asked otherwise.
Okay. So when Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow, is fighting and she yells for Barry's help as she's getting knocked out, at that point, Barry, the actual Barry, even though he's supposed to think he's Oliver or whatever, right? He doesn't have speed, but he turns and starts to run towards her. And you see that it's intentionally shown that he almost forgets he doesn't have speed. Like, it's like he's trying to zoom across to where she is. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really smart moment, right? Showing Barry try to use speed that he doesn't have in the middle of a fight, because he just gets so caught up in it. Yeah. And B, I think Barry and Caitlin are cute together and it's hopeless. So I just enjoyed that tiny little moment. That's all I got. Okay, don't make fun of me.
No, they kind of are. I think a lot of fans have thought that since season one, that they should have had a moment together. Yeah.
It was very sweet.
They will never, and just for this little Flash here, no one will ever be better than Patty Spivot. She was the absolute perfect Flash.
Wasn't she adorable?
Yeah, exactly. And so I'd love them to bring her back.
Flash ships just in general have gone so downhill from the early seasons. When we had the moment with Caitlin early Flash season, the karaoke thing and all of that. That was very cute. We had Patty Spivot for a while. And now it's just like, I don't think they know what to do with their romance stuff. And they're supposed to be the romantic show. They're supposed to be awful. It's fine. We have Arrow. Yeah. Arrow has romance. It's okay. All in. Okay, I'm going to end on a bang. What did you think of Merlin showing up?
Well, we knew he was coming, and I was so wondering, how are they going to bring him in? And so I thought it was cool that it was just a figment of Oliver's fears at this last moment. I mean, it's unfortunate that it wasn't really the reality that he did survive the island, even though he was saying he did. Although, we don't know. We still don't know yet. I mean, no body, no death. We still don't know. I don't know. I don't know if John Barrowman is done with the show or not. This may have just been a fun little bonus to include him and bring him back. But they did have him at the end there as a police officer with Diaz, of all people, which I thought was pretty funny to see. So maybe we'll get them, especially Malcolm, maybe we'll get him in part three as well. What'd you think?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was an easy way to bring in a fan favorite and one of the most charismatic actors that they have. And it was just a bit of a stunt. But yeah, and like you said, we knew he was coming. It was cool. I'm curious to see if they do more with the concept of bringing him back, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the lines that he had, he even said, you know, you left me to die on the island, but whatever. He said something about you didn't find me, so I survived. He said something along those lines, and I just kind of thought, they're actually making fun about that concept. So we'll see if it actually pans out to anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, Flash, I'm curious to hear what people thought. But with that said, I know we don't have too terribly much feedback quite yet, because we are recording this right after the Arrow episode aired, and there's still a little bit more Arrowy fun to come, which aired tonight, Supergirl part of this. Yeah. So we're going to go through the two bits of feedback that we got this week, but you're going to represent us well on the GSM giant crossover, right?
Yeah.
And you'll be able to talk more about the whole three-part thing.
About the whole thing. And hopefully we get in a little bit more feedback for that of our fans wanting to talk about the whole thing. So I will definitely address all of that. Yeah. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's get to the stuff we got tonight. So on to transmissions. Mm-hmm. All right, you take the first one.
Sure. So Scarlet Vixen writes in with her list of pros and cons. She says, hello, squad. Well, this crossover has been fun, weird, but fun. Tonight's episode was an 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it more than the first hour, but that one wasn't bad either. Here are the pros. Number one, Elicity. I'm so glad they resolved their issue that they were having. I was worried I was going to have to wait until January to see how it was going to go. Yes, it was a little rushed and I would have liked them to talk more, but I'll just hand wave that they had some off-screen talks. That's fair.
You know, she actually has a point there that, because we complained about it being part of this crossover, but the fact that they stuck it in and dealt with it, and maybe it's done. Maybe when Arrow comes back, there's not going to be any of this melodrama with them, and we can just continue on. So that's a good point.
Nice. Yeah, you're right. Her second pro is Batwoman. Though her introduction was excellent, then seeing her in the suit was exciting. She was kicking butt, the sash she was throwing around to the boys, but not to Kara, and their talks were fun. Yes, I agree. And she says, all the Easter eggs. Wow, there were so many in the show. And I know I probably missed a bunch. The names on the cells I recognize. The ring line to Diggle. Yeah. Sounds like she and you are on the same page there. And her last pro is Diggle. Man, this guy was beating up everyone this episode. This is the Diggle I'm here for. Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. What are her cons? I'm curious.
Cons, number one on the list, she says, lying to Felicity again. I got that it didn't go so well telling the Flash team, but come on, writers, please stop having people lie to her. It just doesn't go well, and it's not a good look. Yeah, I agree. That's such a pattern with these writers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about it.
Rushed storylines. Felt they needed to flesh things out. Well, people more like Nora Fries and Psycho Pirate, at least. I get that it's only 42 minutes, but if they were hyping these characters up when they casted them, I was expecting a little bit more. And lastly, writers. I don't know if I was the only one who picked up on this, but I'm not here for throwing shade at the two main couples of these shows or pitting them against each other. When they had Cisco talk about how Iris noticed there was something different, which I don't remember in the first hour because they actually had to tell her. Good point. She says, I don't know why, I just don't like it or that it had to be brought up. Maybe I'm missing something or maybe I read too much into it. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a crossover thing. They pit the couples against each other, too. I don't know why they do that. That's so weird.
I don't know why they would be comparing them or matching them up where, you know, right. it's like the my dad can beat up your dad type of thing. Our couple is better than your couple. And it's like, why? They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't beat us. They're all friends. They're all there for each other.
That's not how normal people act, you know? Yeah. It's like,
My wife's better than your husband, Cammy.
It's just so, I can't imagine a world where people do, like, I guess there's, like, there's the reality star people might do that, but yeah, this is Star City. We're better than that. She says, now we are off to the holidays and long break, but it's actually not that bad. Can't wait for the podcast and to talk to you all next year.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. I think we're coming back January 21st, so that's not too long.
Yeah,
not as long as my poor Legends show. We're not back till April, and I'm recording our finale episode tomorrow night, so yeah, it's not so bad. A couple weeks and we're back. Awesome. Well, thanks as always, Scarlett. We made one mistake. There is actually three feedbacks in here. We have a voicemail from our friend Destiny Dazzler that I just added in.
Yay. Oh, that's exciting.
Let's see what she says.
Hi, Arrow Squad. It's Destiny Dazzler. I just got done watching the episode. I really enjoyed it. I love the storyline and the idea of the worlds being like switched around and flipped around. And Oliver and Barry being each other, it's cool to see them using each other's powers. I think it was awesome to see Batwoman. I thought that was super cool. I thought that it was super cool that Stephen Amell's real life wife was in this episode. I thought that was super awesome. And I'm interested to see the impact that this switch of worlds will make on our world when we get everything straightened out and back to normal. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Aw, it's good to hear from Destiny.
Yeah, and she enjoyed it, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, she brings up one point. It'll be interesting to see how this relates to the regular storylines once they all come back, if any of it
they
does.
They often don't at all, almost. No.
But if any of them is more grounded, this one is a little bit more grounded in that it could connect back because of the relationship stuff they threw in here. So we'll have to see. And lastly, we got an email from our friend Comic Geek Kev, and he says, "Hi, Arrow Squad. Just wanted to drop a note about the Elseworlds crossover after the Arrow episode. I know there's another episode, so I'm withholding complete judgment, but I have a few thoughts so far. I'm pretty conflicted on where I would place this crossover with the others. I do miss the Legends cast, as well as just the extra hour of entertainment, but I can deal with that. I love the difference in Oliver and Barry while they are switched. I don't know if there's any plan to keep any of the changes to the fellas after the crossover is done, but I kind of hope they do. I think it would be interesting to see some kind of growth and change after going through the experience. Maybe they can learn something from it. I also think it would be great to see other characters have to adjust a bit to a bit of change in them." Yeah, that's a good point, and I'm hoping with you that they do bring a bit of this change. And like Cammy said earlier, maybe this helps lighten Oliver up a little bit into being more the comic-like version of Green Arrow. And maybe this toughens Barry up a little bit, where he can't always be the good-natured, help-everybody guy. He's got to make the hard decisions once in a while. And yeah, maybe. That's a good point. I like that.
Yeah, it is.
He continues, "I really love the Batwoman costume, and I liked Kate, but I felt a bit let down as far as Batwoman as the character. I would have liked to see more of her, especially if this is being used as a kind of introduction to a character who might get her own show. Maybe it's due to them only using her for apparently one episode as they move through the story." See, he's feeling what I'm feeling. "I love the fight scenes here. That stunt where she separated Oliver and Barry was spectacular, but some of the dialogue and just the character of Batwoman was a bit disappointing. But I would watch her show in a second." Yeah, see, I was hoping I'm not the only one that kind of picked up on they could have done better with her.
Yeah.
He continues, "I love the references to Batman, Freeze's gun, Crane's fear serum, the Shakespeare head, Alfred, were all great. And now we sort of have an explanation of why Batman isn't around. Although if he's been gone for 3 years, then he was still around when Oliver started his vigilante career." True. So it makes you wonder how old this Bruce Wayne and Batman is supposed to be in our verse.
Yeah, like, because it's not linked to Gotham at all. Like the show Gotham.
Yeah. "Overall, I feel like maybe they are not using the monitor to his full potential in the story." Kevin, you are right in tune with me this week. I love it. "I'm assuming he's trying to find an Earth that can stand up to the crisis on Infinite Earths. I'm guessing that's what he refers to when he says something is coming. I just think 3 episodes isn't enough. I could delve so deep into this point, but this probably isn't the right form." Actually, it is. I would love to hear your deeper theory on the Infinite Earth crisis story and how they cannot fit it into 3 episodes, because I agree with you. He says, "I like what they did with Amazo in the first episode, even though Arrow did something completely different a few years ago. I'm looking forward to the Supergirl episode to see how it all wraps up, and I'm really hoping it's not disappointing. I also love seeing Superman, but the more they show him, the more I have to ask, where is he all the time?" He's in Metropolis. "I know they do explain it at times, but for a set of cousins who are supposed to be so close and could see each other in a few seconds of flight, it seems like there's not a lot there. Not that I'll ever stop watching any of the shows, I just don't think this crossover lived up to the hype. Not enough Batwoman, not enough heroes, the story is sort of thin for me so far. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I'll leave it with this. I give it 7 out of 10. Books of Destiny that always seem to open to the same page." Very true and hilarious point to end on. And yeah, I feel you. I mean, you were totally in line with me on a lot of your thoughts there, but I do feel you at the end that there just wasn't enough of some things, and 3 episodes might not quite be enough to tell the Monitor story. And the Superman thing, well, I mean, Kara is in National City and he's in Metropolis. Right. I have no idea how far apart they are, but the thing with bringing Superman in is they don't, because he's the bigger, more popular character in the comics world, they don't want to bring him in and steal the spotlight from Supergirl. This is her show. This is her time. We all know Superman from the movies and everything. If they make him too major of a role on Supergirl, he'll be stealing too much of the attention from Supergirl, and that will upset a lot of people. So it's fun when we have them, but yeah.
Yeah, I think if it were to become the Superman show, then it just kind of becomes a reboot of Smallville, which is, I don't know that we as a people are ready for that quite yet, are we?
Yeah, not quite. Actually, but you mentioned Smallville. Did you not absolutely love when the Smallville soundtrack kicked in as you have that flying shot over the exact same Kent farm they used on Smallville? Mm. Oh, I love that.
I did. You know who probably loved that is Bat Jordan. He is the world's largest Smallville fan.
And so he's probably laying on the ground passed out from pleasure. That's why we haven't heard from him yet. But yes, it was great. Like when they kicked off, because that's one of the greatest opening themes for any of these shows. I absolutely loved it. It was a sign of the times because we don't have that kind of opening theme music anymore, but I loved it. It brought back so much nostalgia. It was so cool. I was just sitting there clenching my hands together, praying, please have a Smallville character show up. Just one of the original cast would be so awesome. But, you know, didn't happen. Well, thank you guys for getting in some feedback for us. I know most of you are probably waiting for the big finale after tonight to send in the rest, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just appreciative that you guys gave us something for me and Cammy to talk about. And yeah, we're almost done this thing. So it was fun. Well, that wraps us for tonight, Cammy.
It sure does. And we won't have more Arrow to discuss until January 21st when we get Shattered Lives.
Yeah. Yeah, and like we were saying, it's not that long a wait, just barely a month, so not too bad.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am, yeah. It'll be fun when they come back. It's been a good season so far, and these Elseworlds crossover was a lot of fun, and we're on a roll. We got a lot of episodes to go, so yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, and I don't know, me and Cammy will talk behind the scenes. We might possibly come back earlier January and just kind of do maybe a half-season recap. Ooh. And where we're at or something like that. Does that sound like a good idea?
That does sound fun. We could do sort of a State of the Union address or something.
Yeah, just a little something. Just something to get everyone ready for it to come back.
That sounds fun.
Cool. Well, there you go, guys. That is all we got for you this week. I want to say from the deepest of my heart, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Happy New Year. Be safe and have wonderful holidays. This is The Flash signing off for now.
And this is Cammy. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, happy whatever you celebrate, and goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media. You can find all our contact info, links, and feedback form at arrowsquad.com. We'd also love to have you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for other great podcasts covering your favorite TV shows, check out our partners at goldenspiralmedia.com. As always, please share the show, and thanks for listening.